You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
We want to explore now an issue raised on this program earlier this week regarding a character very much in the headlines who is facing some tough questions on Capitol Hill. His name, General David Petraeus. He, of course, resigned as CIA director over the weekend after the disclosure of an extramarital affair. But members of Congress will get a chance to quiz General Petraeus early tomorrow morning about Benghazi, the situation in Libya, the attack on September 11th. The questioning will be behind closed doors. Petraeus has agreed to appear before the Senate Intelligence Committee into that attack on the U.S. consulate. But what kind of questioning will it be? On this program, military analyst Andrew Bacevich has said that the quality of U.S. foreign policy and security and intelligence has been degraded by an inappropriate adulation over the many last decades of military leaders like David Petraeus, an adulation that may now be gone for Petraeus.
The useful aspect of bringing him down, as it were, is that it really ought to clear the path to enable us now, to invite us now, to examine the Petraeus myth and, by extension, the myth that the Iraq War ended in something akin to a success. It didn't.
Will those myths be examined? Will tough questioning now apply to Petraeus and other military generals? In short, what will go on behind those closed doors of the Senate Intelligence Committee? Joining us now is Tim Weiner. He's covered the CIA for the New York Times and has written a book entitled Legacy of Ashes, The History of the CIA. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Hello, John.
So, first of all, give us a scene setter of what happens behind those closed doors. I know you haven't necessarily been there, but what kinds of things does a CIA director typically brief senators on, and is there tough questioning from the senators?
Well, it's not real different from the open hearings, except it happens inside a lead-lined chamber to prevent electronic eavesdropping from bad guys. And it deals with classified information. We, as a government, classify pretty much everything, so it can be a very free-ranging discussion. But they're going to talk about two things today. They're going to talk about the failure to protect the life of the American ambassador in Benghazi when his building came under attack September 11th. And they're going to have to talk about the relationship between the CIA and the State Department there, because you had a very large CIA contingent surrounded by a pretty thin State Department shell at the post in Benghazi.
And I'm wondering if you go along with what Andrew Bacevich said on the program yesterday, that in the past, it's maybe been difficult to hold people like General Petraeus accountable because members of Congress are so gaga about the reputations of these four-star generals, and that you don't get the accountability.
And not just members of Congress, members of the press as well.
Indeed.
Yeah, Petraeus has generally been depicted as some sort of combination of Dwight Eisenhower, Napoleon, and a Greek god. Nobody can live up to that reputation, and of course he's now destroyed it by his having an adulterous affair.
But would you say that this represents, and I'm curious as to your reactions when you learn the news, that this represents some kind of a tipping point where maybe the media, maybe members of Congress will begin to hold these folks more accountable, and we won't have situations like presidents saying, I'll do whatever the generals say regarding war plans, that sort of thing?
John, that strikes me as an unusually sunny read of this affair. This is a disgrace, what's happening here, both for the general and for the FBI, who's supposed to police this country and keep it safe from national security threats. What the hell is an FBI agent doing leaking defamatory material from a failed investigation on his own to a member of Congress? That's not how we run things in this country. That's how we did run things back in the bad old days of J. Edgar Hoover.
So would you say that the interagency situation between the CIA and the FBI is fundamentally out of control based on this incident?
No, I would say that it was a very bad relationship for most of the second half of the 20th century, that the bad blood between them and their inability to cooperate was one of the proximate causes that the 9/11 attack succeeded, and that it would be a real tragedy if this really serious misconduct by the FBI agent in this case restarted that war between the FBI and the CIA, because this will be a more dangerous world if that happens.
And forgive me for ever being sunny. You know how hard it is for me to ever
you
be sunny
really
about
surprised
anything.
Surprise me, John.
Oh, but there is a question of serious accountability for the military. There are constitutional provisions that ensure that Congress will do that. It seems to me that this scandal is about an abdication, and I wonder if there's any way to roll back.
When shrimp learn to whistle and rivers run upstream, John.
I see. So there's no sense that even the disgrace of these generals will cause members of Congress to, shelve their adulation and ask some tough questions on things like the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan. It strikes me as pretty absurd that what brings Petraeus down is not a problem with the strategy in Iraq, but his affair with his biographer.
Well, it is. We take great pleasure in the United States in pulling down statues of heroes, but I'm not sure that improves either our the political arena or our ability to create and destroy great men.
All right. To Tim Weiner, journalist and author of Enemies, A History of the FBI, as well as Legacy of Ashes, The History of the CIA. Nobody knows more about those two agencies than you, Tim. Thanks.
Take care.
Coming up.
A lot of people are calling it a tale of two cities right now, and within one city. It's very emotional going back over that bridge.
Victims of Sandy beginning to rebuild, including a Takeaway producer who lives in the Rockaways, the devastated community in Queens. She talks about what it was like to see her house for the first time after the storm and whether her neighbors are getting the help they need, help they're getting from her. Our senior producer, Jen Poyant, next on The Takeaway. And we want to hear your stories. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or connect to us at Twitter. That's twitter.com/The Takeaway. Stay with us.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable development in communities across the country. More at rockfound.org.